Running a business can be exhausting. Building your website shouldn't be. With Wix, you can express your ideas, give direction, then leave the heavy lifting to AI, from site creation to branded content and images. Have fun with the details. Customize what you want, the way you want, and manage your whole business from a centralized dashboard with expert AI tools. Build, scale, and enjoy the incredible results. You can do it all yourself on Wix.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Winners and sinners. On The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Stuart Gilroy from Off The Ball with me, as is our technology correspondent Jess Kelly, picking their winners and sinners from the week gone by. Jess, who's your winner of the week?
My winner is somebody who took action. Okay. I love people who take action, right? So remember Coldplay played in Croke Park last year. It was very, very difficult to get your paws on tickets. A man who managed to get the pre-sale tickets and paid £332 for two tickets in the pre-sale. Mm-hmm. He went to court and complained because he was given seats that were of a restricted view. So he and his wife basically had to crouch down behind a stand, essentially like hunkering down for pretty much
in
the
Croke
entire
park. How did that happen?
The overhang, you know.
He's on the bottom tier up the back.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Very frustrating. But it meant that they couldn't see because the way the Coldplay stage was sort of laid out, there were three separate stages. They were quite high off the ground to ensure that everybody could kind of see. Mm. But this man was in seats that gave him a restricted view. And rather than just bitch and moan about it or have a whine or say he's never buying a gig to Anthony again, he took action and the court ordered that he must be given a refund. So I think he is an absolute winner this week, and it sets a good precedent that if you're paying for something and you don't get what you pay for or you get shoddy service, don't just moan about it. Do something and get your money back.
Do you do something when you get shoddy service?
No.
How was your food? Lovely.
Jer, are you good to complain about bad service?
It depends on whether or not I'm in a good or bad mood.
I see.
You know, if you're like, I'm kind of at that. You've all seen Falling Down with Michael Douglas.
Yes.
No. Well, we all have our inner moments of rage, right? If something.
Yeah.
But mostly I'm fine with it. Mostly I would just nod and play along and say everything is grand. I'm Irish. Or...
Have you ever sent back food?
I've never sent back food because I actually can't remember. Nothing egregious. Nowhere good, you know. Mm. You wouldn't send it back anywhere good because Ticketmaster didn't show up, right?
No, they didn't show up in court. No.
So I'd be interested to see when they pay. I presume you've got like a long period of time before you actually have to pay the money.
Mm-hmm.
So will it be like, New Year's Eve 2027 before he gets his 300?
If it's on foot of a court order, I'd say it'd be probably prompt enough. They'd be expected to pay, actually. Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see now with the big, like, obviously I'm counting down the milliseconds to Oasis. They're going to be playing there. I took my niece to Taylor Swift last year in the Aviva, and we kind of had a bit of the structure of the stadium in our view as well. So I just think with the big summer, particularly when people are paying hundreds of euro for tickets, are we going to see a bit more of this now?
That's a good, worthy winner of the week. Jer, who's your winner of the week?
My winners of the week are the strong Irish women, the Camogie players who drove the change. We all know that it shouldn't have come down to some arcane process. Democracy needed to be, it didn't really. There was loads of ways that they could have fixed this when it became clear. But it was driven by organised, determined women who said enough is enough. And then CMAT has done an interview this week with Glamour magazine in the UK. She's their cover star. She's gone public talking about a new song of hers, which is about another song that she did where the BBC had to close comments because she was being fat shamed in the comments. And so she's talking about how women are pruned into this marketable product until they turn 27. And I think she's a proper leader. And I'm just tired, you know, the week that's in it with marriage equality, it feels like the bubbling up of strong forces, which the male dominated political parties don't really understand. Mm. Mm-hmm. So, and the male dominated architecture of Gaelic games organisations. You can't say it's the GAA because it's not the GAA, it's the Camogie Association. Sorry, I've already, that was like a whole spume of people giving out to us.
Mm. Oh, because references are made to the GAA and people get very defensive.
GAA, even though they're all members of GAA clubs, like, and they all grew up in the GAA and they all play GAA sports.
Yeah.
But it's not the GAA because they're totally different. They're not misogynistic.
Were you surprised the vote was as unanimous last night?
No, I think because like we'd been talking about it for a couple of weeks, and it did turn out that actually they had surveyed, the vast majority of counties had surveyed their players. I was listening to Rachel Sheehan on Off the Ball last night, and she had been speaking to a bunch of people who had said that actually we did ask our players. We made sure that either it was in a meeting that they were surveyed or that it was on a WhatsApp poll or whatever. And actually, I think that's the big thing here is that there's now a template for any decision that affects players into the future. It's not going to be my gut instinct or, you know, I prayed to my inner Gael. It's like I actually sat down, I made an effort to engage, I put a poll out there, I canvassed opinion, and then I've, you know, tailored that and away we go. So, like, when you ask people what they want, when you bring them with you, when you explain what the opportunities are, very good things happen.
I think it's really important though as well, because there's been so many stats around young girls dropping out of sport in their teenage years. And I do think, you know, what they wear, the changing facilities, the structures that are in place, they're not the same. The ones for boys and girls, they're not the same at all. And I do think seeing momentum like this and seeing a unanimous decision like this will give more confidence to make changes, to equalise things, and also to enable girls and young women to say, actually, do you know what, this isn't ideal, maybe we should do this instead.
The body shaming thing though, that never changes. What changes is the type of body that gets shamed slightly gets tweaked. And when that tweak happens, I have this, we kind of convince ourselves we're at this kind of inflection point, a moment of progress, and actually all that's happening is we're slightly changing. You know, like, say, imagine the noughties and the hip
Kate
bones
and
the
Kate
Moss
kind of stuff,
and the Paris Hilton. That was kind of the ideal. Mm. Nothing tastes as good as skinny feels. And then the other things were shamed. And then as that fell out of the zeitgeist, there was this moment of, oh, maybe we're moving beyond body shaming. And actually all that was happening is we were kind of changing what the ideal was. And that'll just... maybe this is an unbelievably pessimistic view, but I was listening to a conversation about the ideal, this is so random, the ideal female body in early medieval Japan. And but it's just like what was written about it. It could be written today, but the point is, there's just an ideal that everybody's held up to.
You know when you get your hair cut and you walk into the office and everyone's like, oh, happy haircut day, or like, people comment on your appearance all the time.
The other thing, Jess, that they comment on about women, and I saw today,
go on,
the kneecap playing last night. Mm. The article I read this morning was Mokara came out on stage, needed a tape over his mouth and blah, blah, blah. And then it was Paloma Faith, open brackets, 43, close brackets, said, and it was the only age, the only person whose age was mentioned. They mentioned Paloma Faith's age.
They do it.
It's so fun.
That is a bit mad, yeah.
It's
now,
so
they
weird.
Do it in sport all the time. Everybody's age is always them.
But I think the commentary around women in particular, if you do anything, you get commented upon. And if you are fit and healthy and you've lost a bit of weight, people are like, oh no, don't get too skinny now. Or if you've put on too much weight, you get bitched about behind your back going, geez, she's let herself go. You can't actually win.
Ger Gilroy and Jess Kelly, 31, are going to stay with me.
We'll
get the news headlines now. Here's Eamon. Eamon, thank you very much. Ger Gilroy and Jess Kelly are both still with me. So Jess, who's your sinner of the week?
People.
All right.
On footpaths.
Slow walkers.
Handholders.
Oh,
people who
yes.
are happy and enjoying the sunshine yes. when I'm trying to get across town to a meeting.
About time.
There is a
These
thing
called out.
That I have. This is my my manifesto. If I ever get put in charge of anything, footpath etiquette. I think everybody it needs to be taught in schools.
How would you impose it? I've very strong
yell
views
at
on this.
I'd get a fog and just shout at the people.
Shoot them first against the wall. Out into a midfield. Bang bang. One shot.
What drives
bang, bang.
Me wild is that when you're walking down a path and there's only space for two humans to walk at past each other, and there's a group of, say, four people, and those four people don't go into single file. So and the same with dog walkers. I have stood on roads to allow people give their dog more footpath space than me. It is one of my biggest bugbears. I was walking across town to beside the Point Depot or the Three Arena the other day, and it took me longer to walk across town than it ever did before because the sun was shining. People were happy and enjoying themselves while I was trying to walk by. It drives me insane.
Handholding, just it's awful. It's actually an awful experience. Handholding, your hands are kind of sweaty. It's always too warm unless your partner's the exact same height and size and build as you and walks the exact same gait. It's just
it's for strolling compute. Exclusively, unless it's with kids, in which case it's a safety
issue. A safety issue at that. Okay, I'll let you hold your hands, the hands of your children, for a period of time. But after that,
not just kneecap people rather than shooting them dead, because then, like, at least, you know.
No, I would shoot them dead, but I would hang their bodies somewhere where they could be seen as a warning to others. Yeah. You know, here be pirates.
That's more extreme than I would want. I just think people need to be taught. There's not enough cop on, particularly around Dublin City Centre. The cop on factor has just disappeared.
We can't queue really as a society.
No.
I think having the London Underground and the great metro stations and systems of the world has taught people there's a fast bit and there's a slow bit, and you stand to the right or the left depending on whether or not you're going up or down, and there's space for everybody. But you do notice, like in the escalators in Stephen's Green, you're going down to Dunn's and people are standing chatting on the way down. I'm like, what are you doing?
I know.
So the speed is just, you get faster if you just keep walking.
Yeah.
What are you stopping?
But if you want to stop and talk, that's fine, but stand to one side.
Yeah, get out of the way.
Yeah, the double breast standing. I think you're right. I think in London they know how to do it because of the tube.
Yeah, and other societies seem to be able to queue. We kind of descend en masse and
congregate, like like little.
I love when people try to pile onto the Lewis and things as someone is getting off.
Yeah,
like,
it's awful. Anyway, absolutely awful.
We're a great nation. That's your sinner of the week. Sorry, Jess, our people. Jar, who's your sinner of the week?
Well, I kind of just wondered, I was thinking a lot about marriage equality this week and the anniversary. And obviously then we have the abortion referendum afterwards, and it felt like there was a moment coming in Irish politics where people were going to get more engaged, and it wasn't just going to be about single issues, that they were going to become politically active, and that there was a generation who were coming to power, and it just doesn't feel like that's actually happened, that I think a great opportunity and momentum was lost. And I feel a little bit like the political parties are delighted that there was no change brought, that actually the status quo persisted, and that they were able to manage out any of the slightly more progressive or what they would have seen as radical ideas that were coming to the fore. And I'm just not sure. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we have moved to the centre and this stuff doesn't matter. But it doesn't feel like that. And just in some of the commentary this week, many of the people who were in charge or activists during marriage equality are very concerned about the backsliding that's happening across the world, the increase in homophobic attacks in Ireland, and you feel like perhaps a window of opportunity has been missed. That's my sense.
There's a couple of things there. So in terms of the political opportunity missed, what are some of the examples of kind of radical ideas that we might have embraced?
I don't know. I think more like a progressive tax system where
we have a very progressive tax system.
Pays a fair share.
They say.
They do. The economic think tanks, who are all centre right or slightly right wing, who know the price of everything and the value of nothing.
Well, what would be a progressive tax system then?
I think one where the highest earners paid more than they currently do.
Yeah.
One where even USC was more. Now, in fairness, they've made some steps towards addressing this, but like everybody needs to pay
the
tax.
We have the highest proportion of people who work and pay no tax in the European Union.
And how quickly does
low paid workers pay taxes in other countries, and they don't in Ireland. And one of the arguments,
does everybody not pay USC?
Income tax.
But the USC is a completely
The income tax is, or the USC is not progressive because it's a flat rate.
And couldn't we just fix that overnight?
Yeah, you could.
Taxation is one thing. I think integration policy. I think our immigration policy. I think our education system is still run by the church. I think our hospitals are still largely controlled by the church. Like all of the stuff that you think is going to happen over a period of time. I think having a proper conversation about what a United Ireland might look like, as opposed to just being a political football that everybody kicks around whenever they need something. I think there's loads of different areas of it that you could begin to address if more younger voices had been implicated into the system in whatever way.
And
that's what I think is the biggest missed opportunity from that, is that we saw so many young people getting engaged and, again, not giving out but taking action. And I think we could have done more to keep those people engaged in the political system. Or like Barack Obama always talks about, you know, the people who are on the ground, the community workers and so on. And I just think we could have tapped into that a little bit more. And if you look at turnout from the last few, like the whatever the referendums were or the last few elections, I feel like we kind of let those people go a little bit. And it would be great to see more younger people, people who are, say, 40 and younger, those who really drove this campaign, being more actively engaged in conversations and leading the charge and feeling like that they have sort of a say and a voice. And I do wonder if it's because the traditional party systems, they don't really appeal, like any of the traditional parties that are there, maybe they're not appealing to those young activists.
I would wager if there's people who are involved in the Green Party or the Social Democrats or even Labour, and some in Sinn Féin would say, so we represent those views. You know, we're in favour of all those things that Ger has listed out there. So
but maybe this
then do you, like, so I'm not sure if I agree that there wasn't like a kind of a political home for people to go to. There was, but they just didn't go to it.
I don't know. I don't know. I think a lot of people that I would talk to would agree with elements of those parties you've just listed, but there would be elements that they don't agree with. And so it's trying.
But that's those people need to grow up and realize that everybody who subscribes to a political particular political vision is not going to find it manifested in one individual party. Everyone, you know what I mean?
So I suppose that's in some ways that's kind of the point, is that the main political parties were very happy for a flare-up around single individual items, but they were not willing to engage with the new voices. And like, even
but those other parties would have been willing, like, absolutely. And at the time, they would have seen this is our opportunity for growth. Look at all these people, and they would have tried to. And those people turned around and went, sorry. Like, I have no interest in talking about progressive tax systems or how our transport is going to work or the education system. Marriage equality, that was kind of
a single issue.
And like I was engaged with, and I don't care about the rest.
Isn't it better for us if more people in the younger demographics are more engaged more often?
I
think that the big political parties, and I would include Sinn Féin a bit in this as well, are actually not that keen on. Certainly Sinn Féin's gone through that kind of weird process that it's gone through over the last
They're Fianna Fáil under Bertie Ahern.
And so are now a big party behaving like a big party, who still are uncertain about what to do with their past and are now less appealing to younger voters because they actually, I think, bottled it at the last election. But the main two big parties were absolutely delighted not to have this influx of new ideas, when actually it was an opportunity for them to start saying, actually, we can. So they used the Senate seats to get people who have failed to get elected, as opposed to getting outsiders to come in and say, actually, you know
blood.
What? Yeah. You can be part of this if you want. You might not agree with everything we're doing, but actually there's room for us. We're a broad church. And it turns out they're not that broad a church. The smaller political parties clearly failed to incite the people who were behind the big campaigns to come on board with them. And like, that is a failing of theirs. You'd say
mandatory voting? Is that a way of doing it? Just say people have to vote, like in Australia.
I actually think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Same.
You know, like, things go up. It's like, we were just talking about this last night, when we were kids watching Home and Away and all the Australians were wearing helmets on their heads. We're like, what a bunch of weirdos. And now a lot of people here wear them, but it's not mandatory.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you can't do that because people will drive over. People will think you're going to be safe. Make everybody wear helmets. It'll be better for you. Make everybody vote. What's the big deal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tend to agree. I don't have an issue with mandatory voting. Before we move on from marriage equality, on the backsliding point, do you think it'll pass today?
I do.
Yeah,
I really do.
I think it'd be a harder campaign to run.
I think the campaign would be so horribly influenced by outside forces and dirty money and all of the worst basket of deplorables would emerge, right? Mm. But I also think that because it passed and the world didn't fall, everybody who was kind of on the fence has been like, oh yeah, well, it was just a mistake that I realize it now. Mm. So I do see a lot of people who know what they're talking about, who are very pessimistic about whether or not they think.
Yeah, Buzz O'Neill, I was listening to the Irish Times in the news podcast, he wasn't sure it would. Mm. Now, we had Tiernan Brady on, he still felt it would. But he said that. He said it would be a harder campaign because part of the campaign was you've got your two camps, and the success of the campaign was actually people from one camp reaching out and meeting people from the other camp in the middle and having conversations with them. And that whole environment is much more toxic and febrile now.
But so
and people are much more reluctant to actually speak to somebody from the other camp. It's all tribalism has become magnified.
Yeah, and if you think about the role social media played in that campaign as well now, like in today's world, if you were to try and run a campaign like that on whether it's X or any of the platforms,
it'd be trouble.
It would be like catastrophic. And I think that people would have to have comments closed off, accounts would go to appear offline and all that sort of stuff. There would have to be protections in place because of the nature. There's no debate anymore. It's a roaring match. And I don't think there's that the same level of grey room for people to move in and meet in the middle.
All right. So plug out the internet, mandatory voting, and early medieval Japanese women.
That's the one.
In greater numbers in society. Anyway, we'll be back after this final break for the last bit of the show. Jess Kelly is looking for your money.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, all engine running. Liftoff, we have a liftoff.
Yes, it is the last bit of the show, and Jess Kelly and Ger Gilroy are both still with me. So Jess, big weekend coming up for you.
Huge weekend.
Yeah.
Huge weekend. So the June Bank Holiday weekend is when the VHI Women's Mini Marathon is taking place. And I am running again in aid of Newstalk's charity partner, the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. We have almost hit our target, Kieran.
Oh, yeah?
Set the target at $2,000. I actually said on Off the Ball Breakfast a few weeks back that if I didn't hit the target, I'd be devastated.
Well, what are you at?
€1,830.
Ah, pretty good. Come on. How do people? Come on, let's get final £170 in.
So go to idonate.ie/run4DRCC. And every single cent is going to support the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. They do incredible work. Kind of going back to what we were talking about before the break, that thing of, you know, seeing something in society and sometimes you can feel a bit powerless. You don't know what to do. There's been an awful lot of very heavy stories in the news over the last number of years that has just reinforced how important Dublin Rape Crisis Centre is as a resource. So this is something that we can do. And if you have a fiver, if you have a tenner, if you have 500, treat yourself. Get the feel good factor and donate.
All right. So idonate.ie/run4DRCC.
That's the one.
All right. Let's
She's
get
gonna
Jess
win it as well.
That too. Oh, are you?
Yeah. I won it last year.
Oh, great stuff. You've got to do the repeat.
I know.
And then the three-peat next year.
That's it.
No, I can't wait for that. Ger, the studio on Apple TV.
Yeah, I'm recommending this. Didn't think I was going to like it, but it's actually pretty good. Very, very high camp. Incredible cameos on it. Martin Scorsese was in the first one.
I've just seen the first one.
Yeah.
So good. The Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Jonestown.
Yeah.
So good.
I mean, and it gets better and better as it goes on. So yeah, I actually re-upped my Apple TV subscription just to watch it.
I was going to say, I ditched Apple TV when they went from $6.99 to $11.99. I was like, gone.
Back to $9.99 now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but there's so few things on Apple TV. Someone suggested that actually the better thing to do is just to... Pay 2 months in the year, pay for it.
Yeah, so
and just kind of splurge a few bits and then drop it.
It's got that. It's got Bad Sisters 2. Mm. It's got something else. The
Severance
season 2, which we
haven't.
So we're gonna binge all that. We're on our Apple.
Then
TV
cancel your subscription and then take it up in a few months' time. Yeah, there's a little hack.
Maybe
for you
I'll
for
give
the weekend.
It a go.
Jess Kelly, News Talks tech correspondent, Ger Gilroy from Off the Ball. Thank you both very much. I donate. .ie/run4DRCC and all of that money that Jess is raising are going to really, really worthy cause. So Jess, fair play to you. Good luck in trying to win it again. Off the Ball, they are up next and I'll be back on Monday from 4. Have a great weekend.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
What's the difference between DIY and doing it yourself? It's the difference between a part-time passion and a full-time business. Wix gives you the power to turn your passion into a moneymaker. With a website that fits your unique vision, let your ideas flow with AI that guides you, but keeps you in the driver's seat. Manage your business from one dashboard and keep it growing with built-in marketing features. It's time to turn your daydream into your dream job. Go to Wix.com.